League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome back to another audio exclusive WTF1 podcast. And today is a post-quali podcast for the Monaco Grand Prix. And what a crazy qualifying we had. To talk through it with me, as ever, is Monaco superfan and WTF1 founder Tom Bellingham. Tom, did that Monaco quali live up to the hype?
It did. It's always crazy at Monaco. It looked like we were going to get through the whole session apart from a very unusual incident, which we'll go into, but then all hell broke loose at the end, really.
It really did. It was a pretty crazy end to the qualifying, similar to what we saw last year, except this time it was Charles Leclerc that had pole position, but he wasn't the one that ended up in the wall, which I think a lot of us F1 fans are pretty glad to see, as much as we, you know, joke about the curse. I think most of us are happy to see Leclerc take that pole position. And what a sensational lap he put in. It was looking like it could be his all weekend. He looked fastest. Well, he went fastest in Friday in FP1 and FP2. Checo, you know, put a little something in FP3. And we thought maybe it could be a battle between the two. But it was Charles who reigned supreme and managed to get a consecutive pole position pretty much in his back garden. So, yeah. Nice job.
Yeah, he's just looked maybe, well, I say unstoppable. But yeah, Perez did beat him in FP3. But he has looked on it all weekend. Just so, so good. And his qualifying lap was, again, amazing. And yeah, this time he didn't need to be the one to put it in the wall to secure his pole. And genuinely, even if people like Verstappen were frustrated to essentially not get another crack, I don't think he would have got him anyway.
No.
Leclerc just did look unstoppable. What a pole.
It certainly was a sensational pole lap. So well done to Charles. But yeah, let's address the elephant in the room, because Checo Perez, he was the guy, he looked the one to beat. Obviously, Sainz was also putting in some pretty sensational lap times, but Sergio Perez was going to be the one who could potentially take that pole away and made what could be said as a quite rare mistake and ended up binning it in the wall right before we got to the Monaco tunnel. And as a result, brought the session to a premature end. So that's the second time in 2 years, which a shunt at the end of qualifying in Q3 has sort of made it a bit anticlimactic, an end to qualifying. But glad to see that Sergio's okay. And also Carlos, who collected Checo as he went round the corner.
Yeah, it was quite shocking. You had the, I don't know if it was amusing, but it was kind of amusing where the camera just kind of cut away just at the wrong moment. You saw a Red Bull spinning and you're like, oh, hang on a minute. And then
something happened there.
Yeah, and then it cut back and you obviously had Perez backwards in the wall, Sainz collecting him up. And yeah, just a dramatic end. And then just to throw a bit more drama into the mix, Fernando decided he wanted a bit of action and slammed it into the wall at the hairpin as well. Quite the dramatic end to qualifying.
Yeah, no, it was certainly an unusual shunt for Alonso at the end of qualifying. Somebody tweeted me, forgive me, I can't find your Twitter handle, but saying that the only two times I've done a qualifying watch along this year was in Australia and now in Monaco, both of which.
Oh, what?
I know. So
Fernando, yeah, both times.
So
you're
really
his
sorry.
Curse. Yeah, you're not doing another watch along, sorry.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm also sad because I wanted to react to a Checo pole, but I never got the chance. But anyway, I'm sure that there are bigger problems in the world than me not being able to celebrate that. Let's answer a question from Team WTF1 member Efla T. Major, who asks, what are the possibilities of a penalty that could be coming for Perez or Sainz after the crash at the end of qualifying? Now, as we record this, it's 7:45 in the evening in the UK. So it's a few hours now after the end of qualifying. We still haven't had a final classification in the FIA documents board. I'm just going to refresh the page to make sure. Nope, still haven't had one. So although I think it's very unlikely that there will be any last minute changes to the classification, I guess it could still potentially be a possibility, but very, very slim. Lots of people suggesting that there could be something, a penalty on the way for Carlos, because there were double wave flags as he was going into the corner where Sergio was. But I mean, it's also such split second reactions that I think he'll likely get away with it. But
yeah, I haven't watched Sainz's onboard, but I did see, obviously, he does go past a yellow board. It's whether it is literally too quick before he can slam the brakes on and do anything about it. We've had this before, though, with Max in, I want to say, Qatar, when...
That's when he got... It was really late until after they suddenly noticed it.
Yeah. Sometimes the boards are a slam dunk no matter what. I think Hamilton did as well, where even though it was really hard to see.
Yeah, I mean...
Was it Austria? I think it was.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it was, because they waited until literally right before the Grand Prix.
Yeah, so maybe that's what they're doing. They're off watching the Champions League final or something, the stewards, and they'll do it afterwards. They're on a bit of a jolly.
They haven't gone on tonight.
Yeah, so maybe that's what they're doing, and then we'll find out in the morning. But yeah, Carlos could be in trouble a little bit, especially he did admit on the radio as well, I didn't see the yellow flags, which is probably not a great thing to say.
That's a poor choice of words.
Yeah, on the radio. And then Perez, whether he gets a gearbox or has an issue, I'm sure Christian Horner would be like, oh yes, master plan, get Max into don't need the team orders. I mean, the fact that it's very unlikely, can't see it happening, but you know, if Sainz gets a penalty and Perez doesn't start, or you know, has to take new parts or whatever, could see Max on the front row. And if Helmut Marko has anything to say about it, he wants Leclerc to get a penalty as well, which is absolutely like ridiculous.
Playground at this point, isn't it? It's very much, I know you are, but what am I kind of vibes of, like, well, he didn't go over the weighbridge, and it's like, well, he didn't stop for double wave yellows and all this kind of stuff. I think, boys, come on, calm down. But
yeah,
listening to Sergio after the session, he went to the medical center because he said that the car was registering like a 20G impact, which is a pretty hefty shunt. And it looked like a pretty nasty collecting the barriers when he had the crash. But he said, I think there was a technical issue because it's quite a low speed section. And luckily the tech pro is there. It's just a shame of what happened. So
it's not a confirmed, it's not a confirmed tech issue then, is it?
But no,
he believes it is.
But these drivers, you know what they're like, they don't think that they could ever put a foot wrong.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Red Bull feel they need to say anything or prove that it was or wasn't a technical issue. But yeah, you're right. They will. It's very rare that they go, yeah, I am stupid, unless you're Charles Leclerc. Yeah.
Oh, bless him. But yeah, very much so. So to answer your question, at the moment, there are no penalties being said, but we haven't got the final classification. I don't know if that will still be the same when this podcast goes out, but for now, there is still a slim possibility.
Announce Lando Norris pole.
Yeah, well, I, to be fair, afterwards, I was in such a state. I saw that he put on the McLaren app or something to be like, oh, I thought I would get pole with that lap kind of thing. And I was like, oh my goodness, because as you all know, I am so gullible. And then I sort of took a minute and was like, there is no way he would have got pole. What is he chatting on? And then I was like, oh, it's sarcasm. Oh, right. So good thing I didn't do an article on that, eh? That would have been embarrassing. But yeah, just Lando being Lando, I think. And someone else who, well, definitely would not have got a shot of pole. There was potential for a top five finish, I would say, but got completely mugged off, was Pierre Gasly. And my man, he was raging after that qualifying session. He'll start P17 tomorrow as it stands. And he was in a serious drop. But you can see why.
Yeah, it was the fact that it was his own teammate that caused the red flag. Makes it even worse. But it was a weird one because Yuki just tapped the wall, he obviously broke his, what are they called? Wheel cover.
Like wheel cover, yeah.
Yeah. And smashed that to pieces. And then it seemed a bit dramatic to throw a red flag when he was just coming back to the pits with a puncture. But I think you said on our watch along that a marshal waved a red flag. Mechanic, that would have been quite something. A marshal waved a red flag early, and then they had to, essentially, you have to like trigger it. You can't just
have a rogue red flag.
Yeah, because it would confuse drivers and it could cause absolute chaos.
And also Ted Kravitz. Somebody goes past and I really like her. Yeah, Ted Kravitz was also saying something similar on The Notebook when I was listening to it, where he said that a marshal had waved a red flag and kind of triggered the whole process. So although we haven't got an official word from the FIA as to what went on there, it sounds as if somebody just had a bit of a nightmare and went, oh gosh, there's stuff on the track and he's slowing down, and waved a red flag. But normally the marshals in Monaco are absolute, like, they're such
high quality. They're the best in the business, aren't they? Yeah.
They are amazing. Not saying that marshals aren't amazing everywhere else, but the Monaco marshals are trained to the highest level, as you'd expect from Monaco, to be honest. So yeah, an absolute shocker from Pierre. And also,
strange rules you never knew existed in Formula One.
Hello, Matt. Matt's joined us on the podcast.
Right, well, but as I was saying before, Matt so rudely interrupted
He's just appeared because Leclerc got pole. He's like, okay, guys, so hi, I'm here, I'm back.
Don't forget about me. Sorry, that's thrown me. Pierre was saying that he doesn't understand how AlphaTauri basically messed him about so much during that race. Ouch. I would love to click on the quotes, but my laptop is frozen. This is just the best podcast ever. But yeah, he said, let's go to the quotes. I'm extremely disappointed. I don't think I can put into words how I'm feeling right now, because the whole weekend was so good. P5 this morning, P6 yesterday. Every time I felt so quick in the car, I was comfortable to put the fast lap times in. And then he said, I just don't understand some of the choices we are making.
That's savage.
Intense.
Yeah, sometimes Gasly needs to maybe... However true things are, sometimes you just have to give a boring answer to back your team and not publicly have a go at them, because it's not a great look, is it? Because there is obviously talk that, and it is just panic chatter, but that Red Bull, part of the reason that he won't ever go back is that Red Bull weren't particularly happy with him. So for certain comments and just the way he sort of can maybe act sometimes. So yeah, probably not the best look to slate your own team like that.
No, I saw that on his like cool down lap or out lap that he just was pretty much silent in the car, which is a bit different to Lance Stroll, who we haven't really spoken about, but he had an absolute shocker of a quali and had like a little rage scream after they gave him after they told him his time. He was not a happy boy.
He's just desperate to make another Monaco meme. He just wants to be a meme at Monaco again.
Well, that's his highlight from last year. So yeah, maybe that's what he needs. He needs that as his one good thing throughout the whole year. But anyway.
Loving the Katie savagery today.
I'm really sorry. I think it's just Monaco. Maybe Monaco brings out the worst in me. I don't know. Well, let's go through who impressed us most in qualifying. Mentioned there, probably won't be Lance Stroll at the top of the list, but his teammate Sebastian Vettel did a phenomenal job today to put that through to Q3, and he'll start P9 tomorrow. Loving the fact that we've got Alonso, Hamilton and Vettel all sort of bunched together on the grid. That's really exciting from P7 to P9. But well, I would have to say my star of qualifying today was Charles Leclerc, because even on his last lap, he looked like he was improving on what he was already doing, which was crazy.
I feel like if Charles Leclerc had been out there for an hour, he'd just keep improving and improving and improving, and just no one could get anywhere near him. He was just in the zone, absolutely on it. Yeah, it's hard to look, even though it's maybe a boring answer, as the person that got pole by a considerable margin. He, without doubt, is the star of qualifying. Other standout people... has to be Lando. you know, P5 for McLaren when his teammate is nowhere again. Sorry, Danny Rick. And then, yeah, who else have we got? Sebastian Vettel, of course. How he's got that tractor into P9 is a very good performance. And then I guess if we're looking further down the grid, yeah, it's more looking further down the grid, it's more the disappointments. And I'd say the biggest disappointment is probably Bottas. Even though P12, you'd say last year P12 and an Alpha is great. There were big things. I know the race were even talking, wrote a whole article about how he could get a podium.
I know.
And they jinxed him.
They really did. What meanies. But yeah, he had real crappy luck this weekend. So we'll have to wait and see what he can pull out the bag tomorrow. Hopefully no more pit lane or pit stop dramas for Valtteri, because he's not got much luck here. But I'm pretty shocked by Alex Albon as well, because he looked to have so much potential in that Williams. And couldn't get it out of Q1, which is unfortunate. Both Haas's through to Q2, which is good. Like you say, weird to see a McLaren wedge between two Haas's. But we'll have to see what Danny Rick can do from P14. Poor lad. I feel like he wants the world to swallow him up at the moment.
I think we're going to have quite a few questions about Daniel Ricciardo on the race podcast tomorrow. Because unless he pulls out some miracle, all the chat seems to be that he is going soon.
Well, as they mentioned on Sky Sports, the fact that, you know, journalists in F1 are doing articles. Mark Hughes, who works for the race, he did an article to basically say that it looks like Ricciardo is on his way out now.
Yeah.
And when you start getting journalists write articles like that, then it's a very
slippery slope. Yeah, and when Zach Brown starts talking about how loopholes in contracts, you're pretty much saying we're trying to get rid of him without tell me you're trying to get rid of him without telling me you're trying to get rid of him. So eesh.
I think they've got to be careful, I'll be honest. Like, I know that F1 isn't you know, it's not a nice sport in terms of, you know, you can't just wrap everyone in cotton wool and all that kind of stuff, but when you've got such a healthy relationship with a mental health charity and yet you're dishing out quite a bad bit of slander about one of your drivers in the press, I think you probably need to be treading a little bit carefully. But
especially McLaren, like, praise themselves as like the fun, yay, we're a fun team, and then sort of slating their driver a bit. So there's no doubt he's not performing, but maybe they could handle it. They could handle it better. Let's see.
Exactly, but we'll wait and see what happens. But at the moment, it feels like every weekend you're going, oh, well, maybe this one's going to be the one for Daniel, and then it never is. So we'll have to wait and see how that all folds out and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, before we go, we've got a lovely predictions reminder, because we set some predictions at the start of this week for Monaco, and some of them look like they could come true. Others we won't go into because they're already not relevant. Matt's two predictions were Leclerc breaks the Monaco curse. So
good.
It is. We'll have to see how that works out tomorrow afternoon. And then Sainz makes another mistake or has a bad weekend. No, I mean, obviously he did have the shunt at the end of Q3, which could be seen as a maybe mistake, but I mean, he's still ending up P2, so it's not been that costly. So I'm sure, well, he's not there to argue it, is he? So no point. And then I've said 5 or more DNFs, so I'll have to wait and see what happens tomorrow, especially if it's raining, could be good. And then Hamilton versus the FIA, which was to do with a jewellery ban, but the FIA have basically rolled onto their backs and said, oh, we'll delay it another few weeks, which to me sounds like it's never going to happen.
Yeah, very predictable. I've gone for Mercedes win, which isn't looking great, and Ricciardo out in Q1, which he made it into Q2. Well done.
Can you predict that next week? Can you say Ricciardo out in Q2? And then each week, hopefully,
it'll be out in Q1.
Top five and just keep getting better and better. And then the fans, we've got R. Bolton 7 says Latifi brings out the safety car after ending his race in the barrier. Quad Roker says Vettel podium. I mean,
that would be quite something.
that would be something if the race ends up with a Vettel podium. And then Formula One Wimbo says pole sitter wins the race, so we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, thank you so much for all your questions. If you're part of Team WTF1, then you can submit questions for these kind of audio only ones. And yeah, we'll look forward to seeing you on Monday for a post-race podcast. Hopefully, if the forecasts are right and it does rain, then it could be a rather exciting Monaco Grand Prix. Otherwise, it could be a 20-minute episode because it's an absolute snooze fest. So we'll have to wait and see. Tommy, as traditions, have you got any final thoughts?
I just did look at the weather and it does say showers. I am hoping for showers because that would spice the race up a bit, because Hamilton's made some comments about, you know, it needs to be a two-stopper or three-stopper. We did at that time when podcast about back when it was a two or three stopper and it was so much better and the race was actually very exciting. But when it's a one stop, it really is just a procession and these cars are too big and then you just have the one pit stop to shake things up. So a bit of rain would be very spicy indeed, although I'm sure Charles Leclerc will be hoping for the usual boring Monaco race so he can get that curse and then no one has to talk about it ever again.
Oh, what a shame. Got so many good views out of that. I'm kidding, of course. I want Charles to end the curse.
Yeah, so do I.
I want nothing more than that. So hopefully, fingers crossed, Charles can convert that pole into a win. And Formula Wimbo, which had that as prediction, will be very happy indeed. So thank you so much for listening to this post-quali podcast. As ever, if you want to submit questions for Monday's episode, then be sure to follow us on Twitter, where you can submit your questions through there. And also do your three-word race reviews on things like Instagram. So basically, follow us on all social platforms, because otherwise you can't submit any questions for it. And we will see you then. Take care and goodbye.
Peace out. Bye.
Peace out.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.